Welcome and Sarah blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone. And this beautiful Sabbath is snowing outside, but I hope everyone have better weather in the neck of their wood. This Sabbath, March 2nd, 2019. This is lesson 272. This is a part 2 review of chapter 58 entitled Lazarus Comfort, part 7. Our hymn to our team is entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And if anyone of the dear family would like to take one of the verses of the song, you can unmute your mic. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Dear's life for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. O'er us sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely then in the light of His glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, you can unmute your mic.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week. Thank you for giving us your strength to be able to overcome whatever it is that we had endured. But thank you that we're here today still nonetheless, and we're more than conquerors through your name. We thank you, O Lord, and we love you. Please forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body, known or unknown, conscious or unconscious. I pray that you'd be with each and every one of our homes. Keep us warm. Keep us safe, dear Father God, that we may be able to have a great Sabbath according to your word. Please also be with the brethren that are not here, or those that are traveling, dear Father God, for those that are here, those that are listening over the phone, and those that will be listening at a later time. May you please be with each and every one of them, every one of us, dear Father God. for those that are sick and shut in, for those that are dealing with some type of ailments, whether mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, dear Father God, or even financially, dear Father, that you please be with them and help them to remember the beginning of our faith, dear Father God, that we may not despair, to see truly where you have brought us from. Help us, dear Father God, to remember the words that we are about to partake of and those that we have partaken of before, that they may be found deep in our hearts, dear Father, and that we may share them with not just our household, but among everyone that we come in contact with to share the good tidings of your word and your coming again. And help us to study and meditate upon them in order to be prepared for your soon return. In no other name than Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening verse for our review lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 from the King James Version. And we will sing it as a memory verse song, and it goes like this. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God says. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God says. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? But before we begin, let us take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson entitled Lazarus Comfort, part 7. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, you could unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 535. Christ reproved Martha, but his words were spoken with utmost gentleness. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Why should you doubt in regard to my power? Why reason in opposition to my requirements? You have my word. If you will believe, you shall see the glory of God. Natural impossibilities cannot prevent the work of the Omnipotent One. Skepticism and unbelief are not humility. Implicit belief in Christ's word is true humility, true self-surrender.
Desire of Ages, page 535. Continuing, take ye away the stone. Christ could have commanded the stone to remove, and it would have obeyed his voice. He could have bidden the angels who were close by his side to do this. At his bidding, invisible hands would have removed the stone. But it was to be taken away by human hands. Thus Christ would show that humanity is to cooperate with divinity. What human power can do, divine power is not summoned to do. God does not dispense with man's aid. He strengthens him, cooperating with him as he uses the powers and capabilities given to him. Desire of Ages, page 535, paragraph 3. And on the bottom slide it says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Other one says, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 535. The command is obeyed. The stone is rolled away. Everything is done openly and deliberately. All are given a chance to see that no deception is practiced. There lies the body of Lazarus in its rocky grave, cold and silent in death. The cries of the mourners are hushed. Surprised and expectant, the company stand around the sepulcher, waiting to see what is to follow. Desire of Ages, page 535, paragraph 4. And continuing. Calmly, Christ stands before the tomb. The sacred solemnity rests upon all present. Christ stepped closer to the sepulcher. Lifting his eyes to heaven, he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Not long before this, Christ's enemies had accused him of blasphemy and had taken up stones to cast at him because he claimed to be the Son of God. They accused him of performing miracles by the power of Satan. But here Christ claims God as his Father and with perfect confidence declares that he is the Son of God. Desire of Ages, page 535, paragraph 5. And on the slide, it's a repetition of the verse that says, lifting up his eyes to heaven, he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.
If you're interested, that word sepulcher is sepulcher. It's pronounced sepulcher.
Thank you so much, Brother Dave. We are in Desire of Ages, page 536. Anyone of the dear family would like to take the following paragraph? Unmute your mic, dear ones.
So, best blessings, everyone. Glad that you are here. Listen to all of us. Great fellowship. Desire of Ages, pages 536. In all that he did, Christ was cooperating with his Father. Ever he had been careful to make it evident that he did not work independently. It was by faith and prayer that he wrought his miracles. Amen. Christ desired all to know his relationship with his Father. Father, he said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Next slide, please. Before we go to the next slide, there are other quotations here. John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own glory, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Down he says, Father, he said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Amen. I have just jumped something small. Continue. On page 536 he says, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which I stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Here the disciples and the people were to be given the most convincing evidence in regard to the relationship existing between Christ and God. They were to be shown that Christ's claim was not a deception. Amen. Desire of Ages, page 536, paragraph 1. Those are too small, I can't read them, but he says, John, when he had come, said, oh, my dear, it is too small. Sorry. Can you help me?
Sure. Sorry, dear brother. It says John chapter 11. When he had said, these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that's 11:43. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the next paragraph, you can unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 536. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. His voice, clear and penetrating, pierces the ear of the dead. As he speaks, divinity flashes through humanity. In his face, which is lighted up by the glory of God, the people see the assurance of his power. Every eye is fastened on the entrance to the cave. Every ear is beat to catch the slightest sound. With intense and painful interest, all wait for the test of Christ's divinity, the evidence that is to substantiate his claim to be the Son of God, or to extinguish the hope forever.
There is a stir in the silent tomb, and he who was dead stands at the door of the sepulcher. His movements are impeded by the grave clothes in which he was laid away. And Christ says to the astonished spectators, loose him and let him go. Again, they are shown that the human worker is to cooperate with God. And continuing on the next slide. Humanity is to work for humanity. Lazarus is set free and stands before the company, not as one emaciated from disease and with feeble, tottering limbs, but as a man in the prime of life and in the vigor of a noble manhood. His eyes beam with intelligence and with love for his Savior. He casts himself in adoration at the feet of Jesus. Desire of Ages, page 536, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 536. Continuing, the beholders are at first speechless with amazement. Then there follows an inexpressible scene of rejoicing and thanksgiving. The sisters receive their brother back to life as the gift of God. Out of joyful tears, they brokenly express their thanks to the Savior. But while brothers, sisters, and friends were rejoicing in this reunion, Jesus withdraws from the scene. When they look for the life giver, he is not to be found.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us consider this verse for our review section of our theme. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And with that verse in mind, what have I learned and ways I have grown, dear ones? Now, it is open for any one of the dear family, mommies, daddies, or guests, if they have any question regarding our study that we have read just now, or even part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and this is our last part, which is part 7. Is there anything that you would like to ask your dear family? Unmute your mic, dear ones.
I just have one question. After Lazarus rose from the dead and everyone was rejoicing, where do you think Jesus could have gone?
Well, dear brother Josh, maybe in the next chapter, chapter 59, we'll be able to see, because it did discuss after when he's going to be able to continue doing his Father's will. It wasn't only for the resurrection of Lazarus and for all of the joy that was happening. It's not that he doesn't rejoice in happiness. There is also the responsibility of the time frame that he had. He was still going through his commission and his mission that he has to do. And there were many still seeking for his life And whatever it is that the Lord is going to continue doing, we're going to see it in the next chapter as well. It's going to be discussed. Okay? I will leave the way open for any one of the dear brothers or sisters or little ones that would like to be able to interject. You could unmute your mic.
Brother Josh, I've always just assumed that when Christ left that area, and there was other times when he sort of excused himself from the gathering of the people, is that he went out and was praying to his Father in grateful appreciation for the miracle that had just taken place, you know, through Christ's participation. And Christ was always praying for individuals to receive the evidence of the truth and not to just pass it off as, you know, attributed to deception or to natural causes. So I assume that he was praying to his Father, especially for those that witnessed the greatest evidence of his messiahship that had yet been given, that they would receive the truth and embrace him as the Messiah.
And I think I was impressed, like, to add to that, that he didn't want, like, adoration to himself or praises for himself to take any, like, praises for what the Lord had allowed him to do. So I wanted to add that as well. I had placed a question in the room. Since 4 days had passed and we know that the body saw corruption at that time, we know for sure that Lazarus was dead, if they had any doubt. What did the people then attribute his coming back alive to? Who did they say, like, you know, what would they have said would have been the cause of this event to happen?
Well, that's a good question, dear sister. And, you know, this was incontrovertible evidence that Christ was the Messiah. You know, I guess those that were extremely prejudiced would say, well, you know, this is just deception. They stored food and water there in the cave, and that's what Lazarus was subsisting on for these 4 days. And so then, you know, it's just an elaborate hoax. But when Lazarus came out of the tomb there, he was bound in grave clothes. His face was covered. The rest of his body was wrapped up. The only thing that he could barely move with his feet. So anyone that would look at the evidence would recognize that, hey, this can't be a deception. You know, there's no way that he could have survived wrapped up alive for 4 days, and there be no evidence of any kind of foul play. He was truly dead. There's no way to get around it to those that would allow the evidence to convince them instead of the prejudice of everything else.
I also believe there once that when things could not be explained, all as he had called his Father's name and asked for him to be able to aid him. Prejudice can also blind you. And the enemy, what he did is to be able to allow them to perceive that the power that was being shown, it was from the devil. But for those also that was around, that they actually took part of helping to unloose him, the cooperation of the human instrument around him, they can also be great witness because they were there and their hands was also involved in removing the clothing. So they can't really see what was really happening. It wasn't from the devil. And there is something else that I have realized too. They also have the writings, prophecies on the scriptures. Those that were acquainted with it, some of them had went back and see what the word of God said. And that's what awakened a lot of them also to follow Jesus. So, dear ones, because we have a little short timing, there is a song that had came up in my spirit when I was sleeping, and I remember when I used to have all the children around, and we would ask them to proclaim Jesus and the love they have for him. So I remember the chorus, and I went and find it, and it's How I Love Jesus. So in between each one of the verses, I will ask the children if they love Jesus, and they can be able to proclaim it as well. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing his word. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, Layla, do you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Tell us, why do you love Jesus?
Because he first loved me.
Amen. That's the reason we sure has to love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. He tells me of the Savior's love, who died and set me free. He tells me of his precious blood, this sinner's perfect plead. Oh, Emma, do you love Jesus? And Haley, do you love Jesus?
That's what I do.
Tell us, why do you love Jesus?
Because he first loved me.
That's the reason you sure have to love him. So, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. He tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in his sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, Janelle, do you love Jesus? Oh, Gabby, do you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Tell us, why do you love Jesus?
Because he was the first to love me.
That's the reason you sure have to love him. So, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, dear remnant.
Yes, we love Jesus.
Amen. Are you sure you love Jesus?
We really sure we love Jesus.
Tell us, why do you love Jesus?
Because he first loved us.
That's the reason we all have to love him. Oh, how we love Jesus. Oh, how we love Jesus. Oh, how we love Jesus. Because he first loved us. Amen. If you have any thoughts or poem to be able to share, you can be able to unmute your mic. And if there is none, I found this other poem. It's called Nearer. It's taken from Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 10, 1857. Last Sabbath, someone asked, what does the initial mean? And it's Uriah Smith, resident editor.
One sweetly psalm da comes to me o'er and o'er. I am nearer my home today than ever I've been before. Nearer my father's house where the mansions, where the many mansions be. Nearer the great white throne, nearer the jasper sea. Nearer the bound, that bound of life where we lay our burdens down. Nearer leaving my cross, nearer wearing my crown. So.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. If there's any testimonies that anyone of the family would like to share, anyone has a story, would you like to share yours? If you have a testimony, you could be able to unmute your mic and share it with your dear remnant family.
A testimony. My testimony is I have more time to spend with my children without being stressed out from work.
Amen. That is a beautiful testimony indeed. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, I know that we are going over the time, but this is the area where the little ones will be able to draw very near because it's story time, and also our dear brother Dick will be able to have the opportunity to review his section to ask any question to the children.
It's story time again. Story time review, I should say. Our verse is, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John 4:15. If you say Jesus is the Son of God, that is proof that Jesus reigns or lives in your heart. There's a lot of people that don't believe he's Jesus. Some say he was just a good man. Well, they'll find out. The confession of which John here speaks is not the result of a nominal faith. A nominal faith is what most people have. They just believe in Jesus because somebody else told them to. That is a nominal faith. But when you get to know him as your personal savior, that's real faith. The confession of which John here speaks is not the result of a nominal faith, but is the result of an abiding faith in the living Savior. That is, a faith that lives in our hearts. The result of believing that the blessing of salvation, the blessings of salvation are brought within our reach through the sufferings and death of Christ, who was raised from the dead and ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus is asking God, the Father, to forgive our sins. That is intercession. We should feel assured or know that Jesus is our Savior and that life would not be enjoyable nor afford or give us peace and hope or hope if he had not loved us and given himself for us. Our claim to Christ's righteousness or sinful life is without a flaw. That means it's perfectly okay if we meet the conditions upon which it is promised. And the condition is obedience to the Ten Commandments. Did you ask your mama and daddy to explain to you what the Ten Commandments were this week? I hope you did, and I hope they did. God has bestowed upon us or given us all heaven in one rich gift. And whatever the gift includes, or whatever comes with the promise, is ours if we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Speak of Jesus. Educate the tongue to speak of his mercy, to tell of his power, showing forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, tell others, Jesus loves you. Christian youth, you are a spectacle, or as an actor on a stage, unto the world, the angels, and to men. Somebody's watching you. Be brave in God. Put on the whole armor of God and let unbelievers about you see that your life is not spoiled because you stand loyal and true to all the commandments of God. You can be, and God requires you to be, a decided or special witness for him. We need to dwell or think carefully on the words of courage that Christ spoke to his disciples toward the close of his earthly ministry. Through a cruel death, though a cruel death was just before him, Christ's words to his followers were full of hope. He desired to bring all the comfort possible to their hearts. Let us be strong in him. Sons and Daughters of God, page 189. Our verse again, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Another version says, everyone who says openly that Jesus is the Son of God has God in him and is in God. And the other version that I read you last week says, God lives in those who tell others that Jesus is the Son of God, and they live in God. Now, were there any questions? Or let's see, the chat's over here now. Let's see, how many questions do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh no, children just don't ask questions unless, especially in church. Someone says that a child asks hundreds of questions a day, but apparently not in church. All right, I will turn it back to Rose. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Dave. This song came up to my mind for the little children, where the light of God will reflect upon you so you can reflect it on others. The song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. The light that is in you is the light of Christ Jesus. So dear ones, we could continue walking with the Lord according to the power of the Holy Spirit. So we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled Priestly Plotting in our study book, The Sign of Ages. Any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, you can unmute your mic, dear ones.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Now, Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ-like spirits. We thank you for letting us be able to have another scripture study, another review. We pray that we may be able to keep on learning more things of thee, and keep on reading and learning, and keep on growing with these things in our minds and our hearts. We pray that we may help. Oh, may the unbelievers or the people who have not known you yet to learn more of the, we pray that we may speak our words into their mouths and into their mouths, and they may, and also into their ears, that they may be able to hear. And even if some still have their doubts, we pray that there may be a few who will listen to what we say concerning thee. Most of all, temptations that the devil may use against us to give us trouble, a tough time, or even make us turn away or sin against thee. Let us be able to also keep on on walking on the right path, bless you, to keep on and show mercy in any lowly soul. We pray that we may be able to be confident knowing that you're always there to help us, even when times are difficult. I pray that we may be able to have more blessed Sabbath for all these days to come. And protect us from many of these things, whether people give us trouble or from harsh weather, including heat, rain, or frigid cold. And also we pray that you may be able to guide us if we are lost, even in thought, or lost, and can't find our way back to where we were supposed to go or back home. Also pray that you may be able to let us be considerate and not be carried away with what the things that we like, but we should think of what others may find enjoyable. We love your Lord God, looking forward to being in the land you promised us, and we love thee for everything you've done for us. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will begin our new chapter, chapter 59, entitled Priestly Plotting. This ends our series of Lazarus Comfort, and that will take place there on March 9, 2019, lesson 273. We hope and pray that you all will bless, and may you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.